Today's sermon will be translated from English into Spanish via headphones. If you need a set of headphones, please raise your hand and our ushers will bring them to you. Para quienes nos miran en YouTube, nos disculpamos por no tener la posibilidad de transmitir la traducción al inglés al español al mismo tiempo durante nuestro culto del domingo por la mañana. Lo siento. I'm sorry. Sin embargo, el sermón en inglés y la traducción al español estarán disponibles en el sitio web de nuestra iglesia poco después de que termine el culto. For those watching on YouTube, we apologize that we do not have the ability to stream English and Spanish translation at the same time during our Sunday morning worship. However, the sermon in English and the Spanish translation will be available on our church website shortly after worship ends. I'm glad that's over. So, we're going to put the sermon text on the screen, and I encourage you, if you'd like, to turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, and we're going to read that verse. So let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Another way of saying this is, when the temptation comes, when the temptation to do wrong comes, don't give in to it. We are currently in a series of sermons through the part of the Bible we call Proverbs. In the Bible, a proverb is a short saying that conveys either an observation about life or a general principle to live by. Next week, we will look at marital wisdom in Proverbs. Today, we're looking at the subject of temptation throughout Proverbs. And we'll also look at some verses from other parts of the Bible. For some of you, the principles shared today may be new to you. Our culture is not good at considering ideas different from the ideas we already have. We are not good at discussing different viewpoints. Also, our culture is not good at digging deep into a subject, considering the nuances involved to really learn what someone with a different viewpoint is saying. So, before you assume you disagree with these principles, please let me explain them first. Then you decide if you accept them or not. Just make sure you understand what the Bible is really saying before you reject it. And by the way, if you believe what you like in the Bible and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe or the Bible that you believe. It's yourself. We're not a pushy church, so know that we are not here to cram things down your throat. But I do hope you will consider what God has to say on these subjects. Temptation has been with us since shortly after creation, when Adam and Eve caved into disobeying God. When we fall into temptation, we commit sin. And to make it clear, this is simple, but to make it clear, sin is anything that we think, say, or do that displeases God. Now, when we commit sin, we can claim that we didn't know better. But let's be honest. We usually know when we're doing something wrong. So the goal of this sermon is to help you know about God and what He says and how to apply it to life. This is what we call wisdom. Now, the Bible identifies many different areas of temptation. We've already had sermons that deal with some of these over the last several weeks. We've looked at temper, unforgiveness, injustice, finances, hate, and several others. Today we'll look at some verses that talk about temptation in general. Then we'll apply some verses to some specific temptations. And you will see that these verses are extremely relevant to the world we live in today. God's word is not outdated. So let's read Proverbs 1 again. But this time, let's read verses 10 through 14. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come on with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw your lot in with us, and we'll share a common purse. Now, this is an obvious temptation, okay? It's pretty straightforward. Come with us. We'll attack people and rob them. Now, I don't think many of us would fall into this temptation. But temptation comes in a lot of different forms. Some are blatant, like the temptation to steal that we just read. But others are very subtle. And if we're not careful, we will allow people around us to pull us down into temptation. For example, the temptation to compromise truth in order to be popular and accepted by others around us. That's seen in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Listen to these verses. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. So let me explain what was happening in these verses. Jesus was Jewish, and in the very beginning of the New Testament church, it was mostly made up of Jewish believers. As the gospel began to spread, more and more non-Jewish people committed to following Christ. And a debate came up as to whether non-Jewish people in the church had to follow Jewish customs from the Old Testament. A Christian leader named Peter was on the side of saying, no, meaning, no, they don't have to follow the Old Testament Jewish customs. Peter was Jewish. And while he was with non-Jewish people, he acted like more like non-Jewish people. But when some other Jewish people showed up, he started acting more Jewish. And he backed off from his time and his connection to the non-Jewish Christians. And he did this out of fear. Pastor Tommy talked about that a lot in last week's sermon, so go back and listen to it on our YouTube page. Anyway, the Apostle Paul, he's the one who wrote this letter, by the way, the Apostle Paul saw what was happening, and he called out Peter on his hypocrisy. Now, a lot of us face temptation. Can I just go ahead and say, all of us face temptation. We adults like to tell the youths around us, don't cave in to peer pressure, as if we never fall into sin ourselves. Proverbs gives us some good wisdom to overcome this tendency to let others drag us down. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So surround yourself with people who exhibit wisdom. People who will encourage you toward what is right instead of what is wrong. Chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. So, do not make very close friends of those who display bad character. Now, we will all have some acquaintances or friends who are not living faithfully for Christ. In fact, we should, so that we can be sharing Christ with them. But don't let them become your closest friends and influence you toward wrong. Don't let them be the major influence in your life. Let God and His people be the major influence in your life. So let your closest friends be the friends that will speak truth to you, that will challenge you to faithfulness in God. Be careful of those who would lead you into substance abuse. Listen to chapter 23, verses 19 to 21. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothe them in rags. So again, this is a general principle and a general observation on life. The first part is saying to live wisdom principles from God. And generally speaking, your life will benefit from those principles. The rest of that proverb is saying, if you hang around with the party crowd, abusing substances, and possibly becoming addicted, then generally speaking, your life will suffer the consequences. And the temptations of substance abuse often go hand in hand with sexual temptations. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this. In fact, part of chapter 2, all of chapter 5, half of chapter 6, and all of chapter 7 speak to the problems with sexual temptation. Now, we're not going to go into depth in this area of temptation today. But if you are giving in to temptation in this area of your life, you really need to talk to someone who is living faithfully in this area. Don't get advice from those who are not overcoming. So here's just a couple of those verses. Proverbs 2, 16 through 19. It, meaning wisdom, will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth, ignored the covenant she made before God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. So these verses are saying, man, she looks good. This could be fun. And it may be fun for a while. It may be for a long time. But sooner or later, it will catch up to you. This type of life, this lifestyle, leads to a dead end. And by the way, this is not just a warning for men about being tempted by women. Listen close to this, okay? It's important. Much of Proverbs was written by a man named Solomon. And he was giving this wisdom to his son. It absolutely applies to women as well. You understand. Sorry, Wendy, I'm going off script a little here. It's advice for everybody, men and women alike, and you apply it in the areas of your life that are appropriate. Does that make sense? So ladies, when he says, my son, assume he's saying, my daughter, and you take that advice accordingly. Does that make sense? It's not being demeaning to women, it's just a father was talking to his son. But the principles apply to everybody. Okay? And ladies, you know, need to know that there are men out there who want one thing. And you need to watch out for them. Part of next week's sermon will be from Proverbs chapter 31. And other places too. And we will explain that it is better to find a spouse with character than a spouse with beauty or handsomeness. It's next week. Another area of temptation is in money and possessions. We could call this greed. We talked about that on August 3rd. Another area that we are tempted in is power and injustice. And this is a major issue in our world today. We looked at that subject back on July 6th, if you want to go back and watch that one on YouTube. The Bible has answers if we are willing to listen to them. It really does. God is not a control freak. He is sovereign over everything, everywhere. Okay? But in his sovereignty, he has granted a great deal of freedom for us to make decisions on our own. God's wisdom, indeed God's desire, is not to control you, but to bless you. So suppose I need to drive a nail into a piece of wood. So I get my piece of wood, I get my nail, hold it on the wood, and I try to hammer it in with my cell phone. Of course, the phone will crack. The nail will not go into the wood. And I say, this phone is a piece of junk. Would that be fair? No. Because that is not what phones are made for. Or try making a phone call with your hammer. See, God made you. He knows you. And he knows what your purpose in life is. He knows what you were made for. And that is to be in connection with him. In relationship with him. And when we deviate from that purpose, we are dissatisfied and discontent. Okay? I'm going to read that again. It's the top of page 18, Wendy, and I'm going to go off my notes here. When we deviate from the purpose that God has for us, we are dissatisfied and discontent. And when you are discontent and dissatisfied, you will look for something somewhere to satisfy you and bring you contentment. God has put this drive in us, this desire for relationship, for connection. And when we are not properly connected and in relationship with God, we look for that fulfillment somewhere else, in something else. And everywhere else you look for it, it's the wrong place, because you'll only find it in Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, second line on page 18, Wendy. I'm going to tell you something very important about temptation. Are you ready? This is deep. You can tell I'm excited because I came up with this. Are you ready? So listen carefully. Temptation is tempting because it looks so good. I warned you, this was going to be a deep thought. I'll give you a minute to process it. Seriously, if temptation looked awful, who would want to fall into it? temptation has a seducing power to it. And it is difficult to overcome in your own strength. And yielding to temptation, and by the way, this sentence, this truth applies to both believer and unbeliever alike. Wherever you're at in your relationship with God, yielding to temptation will take you further and further away from knowing God and being in relationship with Him. So how do you overcome these various temptations? And I only mentioned a few. There's a long list of stuff that we're tempted with, right? How do you overcome? Well, Proverbs 4:23 gives us a start. Solomon writes, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." See, it all starts with your heart. Is your heart turned toward God, or is it turned away from Him and toward the wrongdoing of this world? If you are all about yourself, about getting all the fun out of life that you can, about satisfying yourself, your heart is not turned toward God. And in the long time frame, you will be less and less content, less and less satisfied with anything else until Christ is first and foremost in your life. I may mention this next week, but I just want to go ahead and say it now. I know one pastor who was asked, "If my spouse loves God more than me, then I'm a little bit jealous about that. How can that be right?" But when I love God better, when I love God most, when I love Him first, He helps me love my wife better. See, when you're trying to find contentment and satisfaction in everything except for Christ, you're expecting something from that person, that thing, that habit, whatever it is, that thing cannot deliver. Because you're made to only find it in Him. Does that make sense? So it's not a question of relegating my wife to second class status. Pam will tell you that when I'm walking really close with Christ, I treat her better. And when I stray from Him, I treat her not better. Temptation is common to all of us. But God has given us a way out. In writing to the church in Corinth about 2,000 years ago, The Apostle Paul spoke of five areas, just five, in this passage. Five areas of sin that the people of God committed in the Old Testament. Craving for pleasure in food and drink. I mean craving. Partying. Idolatry. Sexual immorality. Doubting God and complaining. Then he gives the sad results of their sins. And the sad result is that many of them died. That's in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. But then he says, and see, that doesn't leave us hopeless. Because then he says in verses 11 through 13 of that chapter, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man or mankind, to all of us. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So I need to pause here, Wendy. This verse is often misunderstood. So Paul is writing this letter to this church, this group of Christians. They're struggling with temptations in various areas. And he says, you know, all that stuff that happened in the Old Testament, it got written down for us. And it's an example for us. So you might think you're doing pretty good, but if you are, you really need to pay attention. Because if you are trusting in your own strength, it's not going to be enough. Temptations are common to all of us. I'm paraphrasing those verses, okay? Temptations are common to all of us. All of us. But God is faithful. Now, this is where this verse is really often misunderstood, because it says, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And a lot of people take that phrase and say, see, God will never give you more than you can handle. And that's not what it means. It's just not. So here's Pastor Dave's expanded translation. Okay. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear on your own. But when you are tempted with temptations that you can't bear on your own, when those kind of temptations come, he'll be there for you. He'll provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Okay? And the English translation is not very good there. I hope the Spanish is better. And I'm not criticizing the Bible. So I just opened a big can of worms. But many of you are bilingual. And you know that when you translate something, you can translate it usually a couple of different ways. And both ways are often valid. Sometimes when translators do more of a word-by-word translation, they sort of have a tendency or a possibility of missing the big thought. So the sentence does not end with, well, he'll never give you more than you can handle. It's basically saying, most of the time, you need to handle what you're facing in life. This will be a challenging translation for Wendy, but suck it up, Buttercup. Just get tough. There are times in your walk with Christ, you know what to do. And you have the strength to do it, and you can do it. But you're just being spiritual lazy, and you're not doing it. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. But he's always there when you face something you can't do. He'll give you a way out. He'll be there with you. He'll lift you up. He'll walk with you. God will be there to help you. I'm back on the middle of page 21, Wendy. God will be there to help you, but you must respond to his leading in your life. He leads us through his word, the Bible. He leads us with other Christians speaking truth into our lives. And for Christians, he leads us through the Holy Spirit living within us. But again, we must respond to him. He won't force us. And he understands us. Hebrews 4, verses 15 through 16 says, this is speaking of Jesus, by the way. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Christianity is the only faith system that believes God came to be one of us. And being one of us in the person of Jesus. He endured all the problems of life that we face. Jesus understands you, what you're going through, and how to help you and bless you. So if you forget all the rest of today's sermon, which is important, please remember this last part. In these sermons through Proverbs, there is a huge danger. And that danger is to take these principles and just try to be a better person on your own. Now, that might work partially for a while. You can try to be perfect. But attempting perfectionism could cause you to doubt your faith. Because no one can be perfect. And when you fail, you'll begin to wonder if you're really in Christ, if you really believe. And you'll probably begin to wonder if Christianity is even real. Applying these principles, will help you in your day-to-day life. But living these principles will not give you salvation. Now, trying to live biblical principles on your own strength is not enough. But grace is enough. It's only when you begin to realize the depth and wrongness of your own wrongdoing that you can begin to understand the even deeper depth of God's grace, When you realize how much you have been forgiven, then you respond to that grace out of love. We Christians don't live these principles in order to earn God's grace and then become a Christian. No, we live them in response to His grace. Realizing that even as a Christian, I will never earn God's grace. So here's the gospel. God is God, and we are not. He is the creator and sustainer of all that is, and we are His creation. And He sustains us. And because of that relationship, we are accountable to Him. And we've all failed to live up to His holiness. And our sin separates us from God. Remember, sin is anything we think, say, or do that displeases God. And we've all committed sin. But God loves us so much, He doesn't want to leave us separated from Him. So God so loved the world, so loved us, so loved you, that God the Son, Jesus Christ, came to step into that separation from God. He takes our sin on the cross, and when we commit to following Jesus, trusting our life and our eternal destiny to Him, He gives us His goodness. I'm at the top of page 27, Wendy. He gives us His goodness. One verse in the Bible puts it like this. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I've said this before. Christians do not believe that good people go to heaven in eternity with Christ. Because we believe that none of us is good. None of us is deserving eternity with Christ. No, we believe it is the humble that find forgiveness. Only those humble enough to admit their wrongdoing. Humble enough to admit they can't be good enough on their own. Those are the ones who find grace. And we Christians need to remember this gospel, because if we're not careful, we'll be following Jesus, applying these principles, and we can begin to think, hey, I'm doing pretty good. And we can become prideful and even arrogant in our faith. And then we can start to look down on others who are not doing pretty good. And that's sin. We Christians need to be humbled by the gospel. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, grace is from Him. As the worship team comes up, let me end with these verses from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. Oh, man. These are great verses. Listen close. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, when you live with your heart toward Him, desiring to honor and live for Him, He will do His part. So this proverb is saying, you start trusting in yourself, things are not going to go well. But the more you trust in God, generally speaking, things will go well. But even if the wheels fall off of your life, even if everything starts to go wrong, well, that's when you need Him even more. And too often that tends to be when we give up or quit. So don't give up. Don't quit. Because it may actually get worse this side of eternity. But for eternity, it will be perfect. But knowing that I have been forgiven of all my sin, I think I would still want to honor Him even if there wasn't an eternity. I cannot tell you how much I love Jesus. How much I want to be like Him and how much I want to please Him. And I hope that's your heart too. Let's pray. Father, use these verses from Proverbs to challenge us to live for You, to desire You. Use these verses so that we will not depend on ourselves, but that we will depend upon You. Help us to trust in You. Increase our faith. We pray all these things in Christ's name.